Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
It's Kitty Bartone and Mark Lobato coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. And that's ironic because we actually will, we're going to be talking about the large intestine today. We're going to be talking about, or we did talk about,
colon hydrotherapy.
Thank you. And we have today Natalie Davis of Move Colonics on, and she's really, really fun, and she's so informative and has a shitload to say about colonics. Oops.
She's a colon hydrotherapist in Minneapolis. Right.
And she's so – we've never done
out of
a
all,
podcast on colon
hydrotherapy. And we've talked about everything, enemas.
How are you?
You can't hear me? Okay,
no.
Now you can hear me like that. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, because we had her on the early.
I'm buying a mixer today. Absolutely. And then, so what I wanted to talk about, though, was the fact that.
That's
that was good timing.
Cue the trucks,
though.
Yes. What I want to talk about,
So it doesn't look like we're really getting.
Nobody likes you anymore, Kat.
Well, this is on Healthy Gut Girl, and I haven't done a live on Healthy Gut Girl yet.
Well, that's probably why. Why don't we just
do it on a site
where you have no followers next time? Okay.
We'll just do it another
ending
time.
Live video.
So anyway, we're trying
to incorporate Facebook Live, and we're still working on it.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Right.
So listen, I really liked that we touched on Just Thrive on the last part of our interview with
yes.
her, because I was saying that recently what I decided to do was to, and guys, just so you know, if you have a hard time listening to poop talk and toilet talk, and we do say some bad words in this particular podcast, then you might not want to listen further. But we do get pretty graphic, and I'm going to start being a little graphic right now by saying that my own personal experience is that, that's weird in my ears, by the way. I don't know what you just did. But it's like echoing in a weird way. Anyway, so what happened was that I was not happy with, you know, not having two bowel movements a day. Like, I really used to pride myself on the fact that I would go twice, sometimes three times a day. And it was frustrating because it started to slow down and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then the first bowel movement of the day was like not the way it should have been. It was like too soft and I was getting frustrated about that. And I've been taking Just Thrive for a while and I'm just thinking, wait a minute, this should be having a more positive effect on that. So I started doubling up my dosage, and within a couple of days, completely everything went back to normal. And I thought, wow, maybe I'm just not taking enough of the product because I am that deficient in that those particular strains of beneficial bacteria. So unfortunately, it's expensive to double up on dosing, but I think I'm going to budget it in for at least 6 months. Just stop doing some other things that I do and do that, and really specifically just focus on that, because I feel like it's
super... Well, we should talk to Kieran about that. We're going to have him back on the
show. Yeah, we're going to have him back on. And I just want to welcome everyone to this kickoff series that I'm calling Gut Health Season. And the reason I'm doing this Gut Health Season right now for the next 6 weeks or so is because today is the beginning of my book promotion. We're starting pre-orders on my book. You can go on to the show notes of this podcast. You can also go on to any of my social media and see it. If you're not getting my newsletter, sign up for my newsletters on my website, healthygutgirl.com. And you can see the pre-orders for my book. It's called The Gut Health Diet for Beginners. Not the. It's called Gut Health Diet for Beginners. And it's incredible. It's a foundational way to start off with upregulating healthy digestion, get to a good place where you are able to battle any imbalances in the body by first starting with the gut. There's recipes, there's science.
And it's an easy read. It's not very large.
No,
right?
It's not a big Ayn Rand novel. No, it's not. It's a pretty good, easy book to give for Christmas and holidays and birthday presents. Super easy. It's good to give for the new year to start off your health journey, and it's where everyone should start. Everyone should start. We're going to do giveaways, so make sure you're following me on Healthy Gut Girl _, which is Instagram, and Also, we're going to be having other guests. So Kiran Krishnan is going to come back. He's a microbiologist that has so much incredible information about gut health. And he's also one of the founders or creators of Just Thrive, which, which is the probiotic that I'm talking about. And you can go on to healthygutgirl.com, click on the shop page, and you'll see all the products that we recommend. Vetted, science-based, good, high-quality, pure. You don't have to worry about anything when you go to this page. You can just see all the things that I recommend that I have full confidence in that are amazing. A lot of them are really well-priced. And just check it out. So that probiotic is on there, and you can get it. They're going to give us a coupon code soon, hopefully, and we'll be able to share that with you guys, and maybe you can get a little discount. And what else? Right. So Premier Research Labs is also something that, you know, they have their prebiotic supplement, which is galactin. And you can sign up for your own free Premier Research Labs account by going to that same shop page on healthygutgirl.com. And who else has good prebiotics? Body Ecology. They have one called EcoBloom. I love that one. I used it forever. And then I switch and go to galactin, and I just use different ones all the time. And you can check that all out on the same page. So anyway, listen up. Listen to Natalie. She's amazing. You guys will love her. It's hilarious while we talk shit. First, I want to just say that I love the internet because Natalie and I became, I would say, cyber sisters through Instagram. And we had so much in common, and she had the most hilarious posts, and I fell in love with her, and then we just became like cyber life partners, I think.
Is that right?
Am I overstating this?
No, we're Instafast friends.
Instafast.
But I first heard you on this podcast because, and I loved you because you talked about doing a coffee enema in your hotel room with a hotel coffee. So I was like, this girl, she gets it.
She's brave.
I get it. Yeah. So just for Facebook, she's talking about the way she found me was through the podcast. And I had told a story about doing a coffee enema in a hotel room because I was so desperate, using like hotel coffee because I just needed to do one so bad. Anyway, so she's a colon hydrotherapist, and she lives in Minneapolis, and her company's called Move Colonics. And let's just talk about everything that you're doing. And I want to talk about some real basic fundamental questions about colon hydrotherapy that a lot of our listeners probably don't know and are probably a little bit afraid to dip their toes in. So yeah, tell us about you.
Well, good. That is my number one job, is to make people comfortable with their butts and poop, because it's one of the most important things you could be doing. So yeah, I got into this because of my own health challenges, which is not a surprise. A lot of people who get into different modalities like this, these alternative methods, mm-hmm. which hopefully are going more mainstream, have had their own health challenges. So I struggled with candida, but it wasn't told to me by the doctors, which fitting for this podcast. I spent 8 months going to different doctors for them to just give me antibiotics and, you know, that whole spiel. And finally, by cleaning up my diet, taking the appropriate supplements and doing colonics, that's what really rebalanced everything and got me back to good health. And it was so important that I was like, I'm done with corporate America. I was in the buying field. I was like, I need to spread this, and I need to make this comfortable for other people, because I cannot. You finally wake up and the light bulbs go off when you heal yourself,
right?
So
how did you find hydrotherapy? How'd you find out about colonics? Like, what was that, just investigation on your own part? And then
so this is a funny thing. I was actually I didn't know about it, but a coworker at the time, and this is where, when you look back on your life and you look at all the dotted things that get you to where you are. Thank God I was in that horrible job at the time, because that coworker told me about colonics and told me how life-changing it is. And then when you get it from someone that's a trusted source, you're more apt to do it. So that's what kind of got me in the door. And I was a believer right away, because most people don't know what it's like to feel completely empty. And most people aren't even going once a day. And ideally, we should be going 2 to 3 times a day. So again, yeah, most people are about 4 days backed up, and that's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talk about the transit time of the colon, a lot of food in the colon and how long it takes. And, you know, we always, in my lectures, I always say, you know, that the average transit time or the normal transit time for food in the colon is something like, you know, 3 days, depending on what it is. But that the average transit time for the average American is something like 5-6 days. And that's insane to think that you can have food basically putrefying in your gut, waiting to be digested in a sluggish bowel, just rotting in your gut. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yes.
Because mm-hmm. So tell us about, okay, let's start from the sort of basic questions I was telling you about for people who don't even know what, you know, a colonic is, maybe, because I do reach a lot of people who are new to all this stuff. So what is colon hydrotherapy exactly?
First of all, have you had one, or has Mark?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I have a television show I've been working on for the last, I don't know, 100 years of my life. and it is actually called What the Health, but somebody stole the name and made a really bad movie called What the Health. But anyway, so narrated by Joaquin Phoenix. It's like a fear-mongering movie. But anyway.
10 years ago we were doing this.
Yeah, 10 years ago I had the name What the Health. And one of the episodes that we, you know, is amazing was getting a colonic on camera and talking about the process from a very good friend of ours out here, Lou Walker at Bodies Alive. She's our colon hydrotherapist out here.
I wish I still had that footage. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, we have to reshoot it all because the show's going to take off.
No, it was good stuff we shot. I mean, it reminded me of it. Yes.
Do you know what type of colonics? Did she do the closed pressure system?
Yeah, it was a closed system. And it was, but prior to that,
it was a high pressure steam clean.
You're not wrong.
But prior to that, I had done quite a few, and Mark has done some, and then, So what is it?
So it is the cleansing of the bowel, the large intestine only, which is 5 to 5.5 feet long, and it's just with filtered water. So there's nothing added to the water. That's all. So what it does is it cleanses the large intestine. It can exercise and tone the colon muscles. It also hits on pressure points throughout the entire length of the colon, because as we know, you know, everything is connected. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty powerful practice. The other really neat thing is when I talk about the exercising and toning of the colon, that is super important, especially with people who have been chronically constipated or anything that is like, you know, enlarging the bowel mm-hmm. with the proper, and it's, you know, it's really important to make sure you're doing the right type of colonic. So I had mentioned, is it the closed pressure, or is it the closed gravity system, or there's the open system, the angel of water? Mm-hmm. You will find that a lot of therapists will be very biased towards the type that they do. But I think no matter what you're comfortable with, which is usually the first type of colonic you end up trying, is better to get that poop out no matter what, get the stool out. So it's the best thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so the apparatus, so before we go into more detail about the closed and open system, I want to mm-hmm. talk about the apparatus exactly. Like for someone who doesn't even know, has never even heard, maybe they've heard of a colonic, because I think everyone has by now. But
sure.
What is the apparatus used? Like what goes in the butt and what, all that?
Yeah. So most people have disposable speculums. Some of the gravity systems use actually metal speculums that are thoroughly cleaned. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of either one. It's fine. It's comfortable. But anyway, so if a client comes in, what happens is they get on the table, they start on their back, and then they turn towards the left. And there's a speculum that's about 3 to 4 inches. That's about a regular size speculum that's inserted into the rectum. And then you can, depending on your therapist, I'll have my clients stay on their side, and we'll start soaking and kind of soak that sigmoid colon, and then eventually remove some of that gas out. Because initially, usually when the colonic starts with mm-hmm. the flow of water in and out, you'll be moving some gas and we'll start to soak down some of that stool. Then I'll have them move and lay on their back. And so it's about 45 minutes because it's like any other muscle. That's when those colon muscles start to get tired. Or everybody is different. Some people do shorter ones. I never go over 45 minutes, though. So that's kind of, does that answer your question?
Yeah. And so the speculum, how big did you say it is?
It's about 3/4 of an inch. It's pretty small.
Okay.
And then the smaller speculum is about just a half an inch.
And are there any contraindications?
And it takes, what, two people to insert it, right?
No.
Negative.
Okay.
One.
All right.
Two people. Where did you go, Mark?
Back alley? And
in
10W, little WD-40 on the end?
And I will
I'm
say,
being
I
light
will
here. I'm having fun
I know,
here.
I will say that is for the closed system. So the open system uses a different speculum. I'm not familiar with the open system. I don't use that.
Okay. So yeah. I actually have done both. I did have a couple of open system colonics, and they're very, very, very different. And
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, first of all,
what did you think? Did you like it?
I didn't, because I think I was uncomfortable the whole time because you hear everything.
You've done the closed first.
Yeah. Just for the listeners, like when you go to get a colonic, you're, the system, it's like closed. So you don't, there's like a glass tube on the wall that you can see what's coming out. So she's going to turn on the pressure and then send the water in, and then it fills up. And please stop me if I say anything incorrectly. And then when it gets to a certain point, then she turns it off and releases the pressure, and then the water comes out. And when it comes out, you can see it go through a filter tube and you see what comes out of you. So it's super fascinating. But
I think that is the best part of it too, because it's just like validating to see what is exactly coming out, and it really holds people accountable.
Yeah, because it's not just poop that you see. You're like, whoa, what's that? You know,
yeah.
Was that a toy
like
car?
Barbie shoes. And
there's that Crayola crayon I ate when I was in second grade.
Barbie shoes. I totally choked on a Barbie shoe when I was a kid. Oh, that's awesome. But you see undigested. That was the crazy thing for me, was seeing like actually like pieces of broccoli where you're like, wait, yeah. I thought I chewed that thing. She's like, nope. And it's and that speaks a lot about how well you're breaking down your food, and your body can't do anything, even with something as pristine as an organic piece of broccoli. If you have impaired digestion or you're not chewing your food, your body can't use it. And so there it was, just floating in the little tube.
And then and then an open doesn't have the glass tube?
No, it has
a bigger tube, but it's kind of harder to see because it's like running.
You're kind of sitting. You're almost sitting in. In like,
oh, are those the ones like you're in the chair? Those are the systems.
And it's like you're almost sitting over a type of tub.
Like a bidet. It's almost like a bidet that just keeps running. Is that what it is?
That's how I felt like it was like. Actually, I felt like I was sitting up in a puddle. Yeah. But again, I didn't start with that system, so it wasn't my favorite. I do think that some men generally like that system better. Just because depending on the therapist, sometimes the therapist will get you set up and they're not in the room.
Well, that's right.
And so
that's
some
true.
People are more comfortable with that.
Yeah. You almost said I do.
I want to go back
to
how you talked about the pressure.
Uh-huh.
So we never fill over 2 pounds per square inch for the actual colonic. And so to give you kind of something to compare it to, if you're doing an enema at home, usually that will fill you 4 to 6 pounds per square inch. So that's a lot. It's faster. So even though it is a pressure system, it doesn't mean that it's about like filling your colon to capacity or anything like that. It's like you're using that water as a tool to get your natural peristalsis to start moving that stool and that gas through.
And peristalsis is go ahead and explain what peristalsis is to people for us.
Yeah, so that natural peristalsis is when your colon or when your muscles are contracting and loosening up to move that food through. So when it hits your large intestine into your cecum, it's still chyme. It's still chyme. It's still like a split pea soup consistency.
So I call it soft serve.
Exactly. Yeah. And as it's making its way through the colon, that's where it's starting to pull that water out, and it's starting to get mushier and mushier. So that's another way we can tell you where we're getting to in the colon, by the consistency of the stool that's coming through.
Okay.
Or when you actually have a cecum release.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the other thing about the closed system is when the water goes, when it goes through the tube, there's no, you can see gas bubbles and stuff, but you're not like farting and making, you know, it's
yes.
very, yeah, it's a very like a posh way to do a colonic, if I could use the word posh with the word colonic together.
You can.
as opposed to the open system where all that gas comes out. So, you know, I remember the first place I had an open system, the clinic itself was brand new. They had just built it out. It didn't have, it just had separating walls between all the rooms. There were no ceilings. Like, there was just the industrial ceiling above, but they hadn't like drywalled and put like a proper, you know what I mean? So you could hear into the next room, and all you could hear was people just like farting the whole time. So I was super like uncomfortable. I did not want to be there. I was like, so I didn't enjoy it.
I felt the same way. I was just like, ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, maybe I should have someone who does open systems, because maybe they've got a lot of great things to say about it. But for me, it was a no. So anyway, with the closed system, so you're saying, all right, so the other questions I had in regards to them is, can you do too many of, can you do too many colonics?
You can safely do them every 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And the point is, again, it's like, it's empowering the client to really understand their body. So most people need at least between like 4 and 7 initially, because going back to, most people are 4 days backed up, to actually start getting their colon cleaned and then to work with their colon. So it's healthy and balanced. So,
okay.
When I'm working with the client, it's every time they come in, it's like, okay, when was your last bowel movement? What was the consistency like? And then as they continue to do them and they start writing their own digestion, we mm-hmm. start tapering them out farther and farther apart.
Okay.
So that's kind of the healthy way to do it.
And then mm-hmm. there's a lot of misinformation on the internet, of course, and a lot of even, you know, doctors and other professionals that really don't understand and are spreading a lot of misinformation about how it upsets the microbiota in the gut,
yeah.
how it upsets the probiotics in the bowel. Can you speak on that?
Yes. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because, okay, so they will, if you look it up and you look at any of the things that why you shouldn't be doing this, it will say that you're getting the good and the bad bacteria out. Mm-hmm. Well, most people don't eat the best diets and they've been on antibiotics in their life. So most people don't even have enough good bacteria to get out. And most people are constipated
mm-hmm.
or have something going on with their bowels that it's worse to keep that stool in there than to be doing something to help the process along.
Right.
So,
well, I always thought, I mean, you're going to the bathroom, like, how, you know, if you're pooing every day, you're dumping good and bacteria every time you have a poo. So it's the same, you know, that doesn't upset your microbiota balance going to the bathroom.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Anyway,
yep.
So, okay. You were going to say something else and I interrupted you. Sorry.
I was trying to think of something else that I've seen on the.
Yeah, they say, you know, so the contraindications would be one of my questions about like who shouldn't do them, you know?
Yeah. So I don't work on anyone who's had surgery within 6 months. I don't work on anyone who's pregnant. I don't work on, you know, people with colitis or diverticulitis or any of the major things where, you know, if you have a flared up fissure or if you have a flared up hemorrhoid, most people don't sign up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things too, though, colonics can help with. It's just being very safe. And if a doctor's, you know, if they need a note from their doctor, but they want to still do it, then we bring that in. But mm-hmm. other than that, most of the people that I work on are, they're doing it for cleansing purposes, or they're doing it for like major constipation. And, you know, most people need to start by getting their constipation under control so that they can actually figure out what is going on and what's causing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because some people – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it sounds as if with colonics, because I know the benefits of them and they're super hydrating and the benefits certainly outweigh any negatives that come from it. But the, like you just said, you wouldn't do it on certain patients only because of the pressure aspect of it, not because of the water and the cleansing part of it, correct? I mean, it's really
– You mean the pressure of the water?
That's the only reason why you wouldn't do it to these kind of patients. Is that correct? I mean, it had nothing.
Not necessarily, because again, it shouldn't be about the pressure, and it's not. If you're going to someone where it is like too much pressure, that's not the way to do it. Again, it's about like getting the water in there, getting things soaked. There's light abdominal massage to help move that water and break up the stool. It's not about filling again the colon to capacity and moving that. The only reason I wouldn't work on some of those people is just because usually when they come to see me, they've already been through the ringer with Western medicine. They're, you know, we're trying to reverse not only whatever prescriptions they've been put on, you know, things like that, that it's like, it's not a good idea, mm-hmm. just to be safe for the practice itself. Yeah.
Right. And just to be clear, I don't even, when I'm saying pressure, I know it's the minimum. It's very, very light pressure. But I would assume that would – I was thinking for anyone who has maybe some kind of a compromised, you know, weakness
like
in the colon.
Yeah, like
you
a
know,
lesion.
That's why you wouldn't even want to risk it, just because – even if it's
Correct.
The smallest amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I mean, I have a close relationship to this colonic stuff because I've – I don't know if you remember, but my friend Julie and I mm-hmm. – my friend Julie was huge in colonics. I mean, she really believed in – she's like, I want to make a documentary on this. So I helped go up to Portland at some, I guess they have this big colonic convention. And we went and we went a few times, I think, and we took my camera and we interviewed a lot of people.
It's called Colonicon.
Colonicon.
That's amazing.
I don't know. It's not Colonicon,
Everybody
but that's funny.
Everybody comes dressed as a
There's
as
people
a
with lightsabers dwarf. And hitting, you know, yeah. shit emojis.
Like lighted tubes from the Colonicon.
Yeah, lighted.
You're like, what are you? I'm a Dwandum. What are you? I'm a Sikkim. Anyway.
Right. We have hours of footage, and she has even more, and I've seen a lot of it. And mainly talking to tremendous amount of people that have the same experience you just described of just kind of having no success with their Western medicine when it came to their ailments, and they had an aversion to the idea of like colonics. Oh, I'm not gonna stick that up my. Why would I do that? I mean, no one's recommending it. As simple as it sounds. And then they do it, and they have a complete reversal of thought on it because they're like, wow.
And symptoms. And health,
that's the
yeah.
big one. And they've all just completely like, yeah, I've come back from I can't remember all the ailments, but they were tremendous, and it's if I listed them all mm-hmm. and had the same benefits you have had.
And that's why I speak to my clients, too. I say, you know, this whole self-care movement and everything, and I think, you know, in a way it's great. In a way, I think it has a pampered sense to it. I'm like, this is your health care. Like, this digestion is not a joke. This isn't just something you're like pampering your colon with. Like, you are really getting in front of any potential disease later on in life.
Right.
If you get your digestion.
And it's not a fad either. That's something that it might be fashionable now, but it's not a fad.
It was once used in hospitals. They did
so, yes.
Correct.
Yes.
I know you're in like the 1940s. It was part of a procedures before like going into surgeries.
Right.
This actually dates all the way back to Egyptian times. It's historical. Mm-hmm. The only, like you said, the only reason it was pulled out of hospitals is because laxatives came on the picture and are on the scene.
Yeah,
and
how much? How can you
look for the quick fix?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how can you? How much are you going to charge someone for shooting water up their colon as opposed to a laxative?
Right.
There's no profit margin.
Well, my mom said that, you know, back in the day that when you're pregnant, you know, they would recommend that you do an enema before, you know, when you go into labor at home and you know you're in labor, that they would do an enema before they went to the hospital just to clear their colon so you don't, you know, shit yourself when you're having a baby, but. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, they would prescribe it. They would say, yeah, do this.
If I was pregnant, I would do anything that I did prior to being pregnant. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't recommend someone that's never done it before, because you don't know what toxic energy is going to be shaken up, you know,
right,
that the baby could absorb. But, you know, for someone like me, who I'm well educated in this side of the business, and I know it's, I mean, practice, and it's filtered water, and mm-hmm. I'd rather have the poop out and have the baby healthy mm-hmm. than have both of them sitting there next to you. You know, it's just
exactly.
It's common sense when you actually think about it.
Yeah. And the pressure, you know, this is a bunch of reasons that make sense to me. So you did bring up something just now. You said toxic energy. So the colon hold, we know that our fat cells hold a lot of toxicity. But what a lot of people don't know is that so does our colon walls, and our the poop in our colon and everything can hold a lot of toxic waste. And so I always say the same thing as well. Like when I have a pregnant client and they call me and say, you know, hey, can I do a coffee enema? Even if they've been doing them, I say absolutely not. Like, I don't encourage any kind of detoxification when somebody is pregnant. But that's exactly what happens, isn't it? You start to get colonics, or you start to do enemas, and you really do start to break up years and years of toxicity out of the bowel.
And that's exactly what I tell my clients, because people still come in with that quick fix mindset, and I say you cannot reverse years of whatever damage you've done in 45 minutes with filtered water. Like anything else, you have to give it at least, you know, if you try a new diet, at least 30 days, or you pull out allergens, give it at least 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super important to just be realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go in and have one or two colonics and feel like life is going to change after that. Some people
with a little bit of a spring in your step.
Well,
you do, because of the hydration.
Yeah,
probably.
The hydration, and you're a little bit lighter in the loafers, I think.
Yes.
The other thing I explained to them in the most simplest terms is, think about a garbage dump, and if old food and garbage is sitting there and fumes and toxins start coming off of it and eventually grows mold, well, that's exactly what's happening in your internal system if you're not getting all the garbage out, because the colon is your garbage dump.
Right. Well, you just brought something, we're just moving really nicely here, because you just...
That's the theme. We're just flowing through.
We're getting good movement.
We're moving.
moving through. Peristalsis.
So what... gosh, there's so many ways to approach this question. Like, what's the craziest shit you've ever seen? But what I will say is a lot... I have, because I'm healthy gut girl, almost all my clients come to me, and so many of them say... what do I do about this parasite? It came out in my bowel movement this morning or the other day. I get this every week, every single week. And I always say, what makes you think it's a parasite? And they're like, well, it looks like a worm. You know, it's like really long. And I'm like, well, when somebody is passing, if you pass a really long worm, the chances of it being an intestinal worm are really, really low. Mm-hmm. Most likely it is like a mucus strand or a candida strand, and they can be really long, like 12 inches longer. I've seen pictures of my clients have sent me, and they're like, I passed this worm and it was like, you know, 2 yards. Whoa, what was that?
Sorry.
Would you quit messing around? I'll punch you in the
What's
nose.
What's going on over there?
at least once. He gets bored when I talk.
I'm not bored.
And then he starts
I'm
doing
listening.
Stuff. Anyway, did you hear that? It was like music, some kind of rave music. What the hell?
Are you doing a colonic over there?
Yeah. I'm actually looking for colonic places right now.
Anyway, so...
I love Vitality Flow in L.A.
They're here in L.A., really?
What is that?
She's in Culver City.
Really?
And Body's Alive. I've told you. Lou Walker.
She's still over there, Lou?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay. It's been a while, you know, since doing colonics, and now you've opened that up again. I think I'm going to go down the road.
Am I boring you guys with parasites?
Get to the point, Kat. Come on.
The point is...
We're talking about colonics.
I'm talking about 12-foot-long worms coming out of people's butts, and you're talking about where you're going to make your appointment next. Okay.
Natalie, see what you got me into? Stop it.
I am happy you are making an appointment.
Okay. I see. So, all right. So,
that'll be on Facebook Live later on this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you come to town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to meet you guys.
Why don't you do a mobile colonics? Yeah. That'd be.
I actually have been thinking about that. I think it'd be fantastic to be in an RV.
Whoa, like
around.
A food truck
yes.
style mobile colonic. Wow, that's interesting. I mean, if they can do it with dog grooming and earwax cleaning and
I mean, you give blood in RVs.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Okay, imagine the regulation on that in Los Angeles. Gosh, it'd be
That's the thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess
onward. Oh, but what you were talking about with like worms and
mucoid plaque, yeah.
No matter what, awesome to get that out of your system. Like you don't want that. Like I don't know if I just posted that thing about Eret that about he has the book The Mucusless Diet. Mm-hmm. So a lot of foods we're eating do create a lot of mucus. Mm-hmm. But other things, some of the most. I think most important things I've even learned doing the colonics mm-hmm. with crazy releases are the emotional releases. Mm-hmm. I had a woman who came in and she kind of quickly talked about that she just moved back from Chicago. She went through a divorce. She's recently remarried, hasn't felt great in 5 years. Starts doing the colonics. You could tell she was just uncomfortable and there was stuff we needed to move. And then the second one, same thing. And I was like, I do not want to cross any boundaries, but you're divorced. That's all I said just because of the energy when she first told me about her background story. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she just started releasing all this black.
Ooh.
Awful.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then the other thing too is, the nervous system. I don't think people really understand the difference between parasympathetic and sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And granted, some people, the first one is kind of, most people come in and they're super nervous and my job is to get them to relax. Mm-hmm. So the second one always goes so much better because they know me, they know the process, they just know what to expect and mm-hmm. it's totally different. And that's what people need to think about too when we're getting woken up with an alarm and getting out the door and not even relaxing to like, you know, whatever we're doing. If you're intermittent fasting or having breakfast, like no one's just like relaxing, taking that 30 minutes in the morning. So your body knows it's okay to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So then people get on with their day and they haven't had a bowel movement.
Right. That's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because the first several colonics I had were very uneventful. I felt better, but I just didn't, there was not a lot of production and I tend to be pretty high strung. And my colon hydrotherapist at that time said the same thing. She's like, you are in, you know, your fight or flight response often, your sympathetic nervous system a lot. And, you know, you really need to find ways to, you know, get into the rest and digest mode so that you can move your bowels easier. And it's so interesting that you just said that because that's absolutely kind of my experience sometimes.
And that just goes back to the age old thing of stress. Like people do not realize what that is doing to their body. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You find after a certain amount of time you started releasing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was just thinking when you said that though, that maybe, you know, having a little CBD oil before you go or taking a little like melatonin or something that really will bring you down.
You mean help relax while you're in there?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I'm not going to lie. Some people I can tell they have had some THC before they've come into.
Oh, I couldn't do THC.
you're like, oh, your eyes are bloodshot. You smell like you just came out of a ganj factory.
I can't do THC, but I could definitely do just like some CBD from hemp. And
that's just going back to the know thyself, know what your body needs. When I was in training, my instructor would have a paintbrush next to the colonics table mm-hmm. and she would use that like a soft paintbrush and use it on someone's arm to just help them get in parasympathetic mode.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. And then all the breathing techniques I've learned since then, I bet I could utilize as well. So going back to the mucus and stuff like that. So Anyway, well, the reason I brought up the parasite concept is because everybody thinks that they have these parasites, but I just wanted to reassure people with my experience doing colonics and enemas and also working with Dr. Marshall, just knowing a lot more about parasites, is that most parasites are microscopic and they can't be seen. And the intestinal ones that are larger, you'd have to have a pretty serious infestation to actually see them. Do you ever see visible parasites when you do colonics?
Yes, I've seen some liver flukes. Mm-hmm. But that's usually what I tell people too, because I don't diagnose or anything.
Right, right.
If we see something, we kind of talk through it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, it could be parasitic, but it also could be mucosal lining. You know, right. It's like, it's pretty subjective. And again, we're just looking at it through the lighted tube.
Right.
If someone... It's my job to kind of pass the baton and be like, I have a network of people if you wanted to do a stool test or do whatever. And most of the time, parasite tests come out negative anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, that's something I, you know, like to talk about a lot, because I think it puts a lot of people's minds at ease, but also because there's a lot of strange stuff in our bodies, you know, in our colons, and especially when it comes to mucus and candida. So many people have a lot of candida and different types of fungus and mold growing in their guts. And so weird stuff comes out in the colonics.
I have a question. So, so we have a lot of listeners that have heard us talk about coffee enemas all the time. So, okay. So you'll have to distinguish the difference between the two, and when would you use them, and does coffee enema do almost the same thing as a colon hydrotherapy, or what are the distinguishing differences and contrasts and similarities?
That's a really good question. I think both enemas and colonics are fantastic. Colonics will cleanse and hydrate the entire length of the colon. Mm-hmm. Enemas will kind of get into the lower 5 to 10 inches. Why coffee enemas are so powerful, if anyone's familiar, have you guys talked about the Gerson therapy on here before?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. So he came up, you know, with this natural cancer curing protocol originally because he had migraines, and it cured his migraines eating, you know, the organic plant-based, the juices. But what he found in the beginning is these people were detoxing so hard, and it was really hard on their bodies. So that's when the coffee enemas were incorporated. And what that does is it helps your body really detox those toxins because of the glutathione that's created from the liver. I think enemas, coffee enemas, colonics are all fantastic in their own ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you
but you definitely
coffee?
Want to have a bowel movement before you do the coffee enema.
Right.
And well, the different, and also a coffee enema you can do yourself. A colon hydrotherapy you can't. That would
Correct.
Be very difficult to do, right?
Well, some people have a place where they can add additives, but you need to make sure it is okay.
Additives into
the
water?
Laws of
like
your
the coffee.
State. Yeah.
Okay.
And then so you said it goes how many inches from the rectum is the sigmoid?
About? I don't know exactly, because everyone could be a little different.
So you said that the enemas only go up how far usually?
About 5 to 10 inches into the large intestine.
And then so that's interesting, because when I was brought up with enemas, my mom would use them to bring down fevers, and she would use them when we had upset stomachs. And
just water enema?
Water. She'd put baking soda also.
Baking, really? Mm-hmm.
And so did you associate enemas with, like, did that scare you from doing colonics originally?
No, you know why? Because they brought me such relief, because I was one of these kids that, you know, we see a lot of now, but you didn't see too much of when I was a kid, but you see a lot of them now, which, you know, that are almost in the spectrum, you know, autistic spectrum, where they have massive gut dysbiosis. They're chronically constipated. They're, you know, always sick. And that was me. So when my mom would administer an enema, I was getting such relief from that. So, and she was taking care of me, and I felt like, you know, a little patient. And, you know, it's always like, It's a weird thing, especially I come, you know, have like a Hispanic upbringing, and we were not super, super like, I love you, I love you. So a lot of attention would come from when I would get sick. So it was really kind of an interesting thing that I had to kind of come to grips with as I got older. I was like, okay. So then, but then once I would get the enema, I would have such relief. So when I got older, I stopped doing them. I never even looked back or thought of it at all. And then when I was reintroduced to them for different health purposes, I started to, I didn't have any issues at all. I was like, this is incredible. But the reason I brought it up is because at first, the water was only going in so far. I felt like it was kind of getting
blocked, impeded.
Yeah, like a water balloon was blowing up there at my what's it called? The sigmoid. I felt like it, yeah. Like I was just filling up like majorly there. And then as I kept doing them, I started to feel like the water was going further and going up into my transverse colon a little bit. But I wonder, do you think the water and an enema can get up that high?
It all depends too, like how high you have it, how much you fill it, you know, different things that can play a role. Do you have a shorter descending,
Yeah, everybody's body is different. You know what's funny is the way I got reintroduced to colonics was a while back. We had a friend, one of Charlie's friends. He's got a lot of friends who are in the, you know, alternative health world. And this particular guy is a naturopathic doctor now. But when he was staying with us, and he's really eclectic, like bohemian dude, we love him to death. And I came home one day and he was doing a handstand. He was really into yoga. He's doing a handstand. And I was like, hey, I'm like, you know, it wasn't that unusual to walk in and see him doing a headstand, excuse me. And he's like, hey, I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, a coffee enema. And he had done a coffee enema and was standing on his head. And just like holding it was very impressive. And then he kept saying, you know, and he was telling me why and, you know, all the benefits and everything. And so that's when I was hooked after that. But,
and also too, like I just said, also too, I always think it's funny when people say that, but it depends on how, like Mark had said, like if there's blockages, like how some people, like I said, you want to have a bowel movement before, but if people are already constipated, it's not going to move that far into the colon until you move some of that stuff.
And that's important, right? I mean, can somebody be doing coffee enemas? Because I heard that I learned that the hepatal portal vein, that the palmitic acid from the coffee is in the rectum. It's not really high up. So I heard that the coffee doesn't have to get very high up in order to do its
job.
That's
why it's still, that's why I think when people first hear it, they're like, how does it even reach the liver? Because it doesn't have to. It's, yes, you're exactly right.
Okay. And then do you prefer when what's the temperature of the water when you give a colonic?
So it's about 98 degrees.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's body temperature, 98.6.
Yeah. So you wouldn't recommend doing anything warmer than that if you're doing an enema at home?
Nothing warmer, but, you know, if a person does so many colonics to get the old fecal matter out and we want to start toning it, I will start to kind of lower the water temperature. I never go over or go under 80, but you can slowly start to get that colon to contract and strengthen those muscles.
Okay, so that was one of the questions I wrote earlier when you mentioned that about working out the muscles of the peristalsis in the colon. So there's actually muscles around the colon. The colon itself doesn't have muscles, but it's the muscles that are the musculature that's around the bowel. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when you work out your core, like, you know, working out your core, is that part of those muscles or are they way more internal than that and hard to reach?
Say that again.
So, you know, when you go to the gym and they say, oh, you got to work out your core. Is that the same core we're talking about with the muscles that are around the bowel or can those muscles not be reached by doing sit-ups and abs?
It's different. So that's interesting that you bring that up too, because even when I'm doing light abdominal massage on your abdomen, the colon is way far back. So I'm doing kind of like this mass motion too, to kind of just get things moving and get your peristalsis moving. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, is that peristalsis to move, because as the water kind of flows, it'll automatically start to get that to move. So people who are chronically constipated and they fill up, they eat, fill up with stool, eat, fill up with stool, that weight kind of builds up in their colon. And eventually that's why they have a bowel movement every 3 to 5 days, because eventually with gravity, that is going to come out. So it doesn't necessarily mean a person had a healthy bowel movement because they got a lot of stool out. Mm-hmm. It just means they're weakening that peristalsis that moves that stool through.
Ah, interesting.
So that's kind of when I talk about exercising and toning, it's more getting those bowels to move that way. Yeah.
Wow. I never even thought about that. Does pregnancy, you know, the way it affects kind of the bladder sometimes, and women start to lose their, you know, the integrity of their ureter and stuff gets weakened. Does it happen the same with the rectum and the peristalsis?
Yeah, and that's why you have to be, you really want to make sure you're seeing a good therapist, because again, it's not about filling the colon full of a ton of water, because that can be like a balloon and that tissue remembers things. Mm-hmm. It's about using the water that you add and getting your body to work with it.
Okay. And do you know much about coffee enemas in regards to absorption and caffeine absorption? Do you know much about that? Because there's so much conflicting info on that.
Like, I only know from the experience I've had, mm-hmm. and it really depends on the person in that respect as well. If someone is affected by, you know, if they do the additive and they feel like it's had an effect on them, some people don't do well with them.
You said it again. You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo. And then I also, you know, some people can do it all hours of the day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect them.
Yeah. I mean,
this is why it's so important. Even when I start working with a client, anyone, it's all about like getting to know yourself. Sometimes people do just want, here's your black and white checklist, go do this.
Yeah.
But you have to be mindful of what your body needs.
Yeah,
and if it's right, because even if I work with someone and I can tell they're like, they're not into it, mm-hmm. or, you know, different things, it's like, just know yourself. Because like, for example, when I first got into this, I was looking for alternative methods. So I did acupuncture for digestion. Mm-hmm. And I still think acupuncture is fantastic, but it didn't work for me. It wasn't until I found the colonics that it really, this practice clicked with me. Hmm. So it's just, you know, knowing what will work.
Yeah.
What you like.
Yeah. I think it's pretty incredible to start to have some body awareness like that. So many people are just afraid and petrified or disgusted or grossed out or think it's just ridiculous. Like all these different preconceived thoughts about, you know, their bowel movements in their butt. And it's interesting.
And it's interesting too, to like chat with some of these people or talk about kind of, you know, where they grew up, and it was always gross in the household when they were getting potty trained. Mm. And so that mentally went into them thinking, you know, gross, gross. So they never want to go to the bathroom in public.
Right.
So it's like working through all those mental blocks. And so now it's like, if anyone has littles around them, it's like, you celebrate the shit out of that when they go to that.
Right. I think that's so true.
Yeah, proper drainage is such a component to health. I mean, getting rid of toxins, getting rid of junk in your body, and it's basically your sewage system. Mm-hmm. And it was something when I was getting colonics a long, long time ago, and I was telling, like Bobby and people who were like, what the, you know, from Chicago, New York, and like, what are you doing? But once you explain to them, like, look, this is your sewage system. You got to clean it out every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You got to get in there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're just, you know, our poor diets, like you were discussing. I'm sorry, I'm going back a little bit here.
Go.
That, you know, your body needs a little assistance, and that's what this is. And you're gently going in there and flushing the body out of what it needs to do to stay healthy. And you, like you said, it might take a couple of days because you drain it once. Now you've opened that area for the body to drain more stuff in. Because if you if you keep that right that silk in there, I mean like the I mean
you have silk in yours.
Silk. I mean, even Donna Gates was saying silt. I was saying silt. Like the silt, like that. It's thick.
Sediment.
Yeah, like sediment. Because what it does is now you're preventing the absorption, which means your body can't push it into the walls of the colon.
You mean like the mucosal lining
yes.
of the intestine?
And so when you're right?
Yes.
I mean, I apparently that's you're like okay. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Your body, you don't bleed, but it still regenerates its red blood cells, and it does that through dumping it into your
from your spleen into your colon every
correct.
Morning.
Correct. And so you're so how many functions your body needs a little assistance to drain your body out. And once I kind of had this discussion with my friend, they're like, okay, I'll go with you.
Yeah, I mean that's the morning poop, isn't it? It's the spleen overnight dealing with dead blood cells and dumping it into the colon. And then there's that dead blood. I mean, that's why poop smells so incredibly toxic.
And your colon's got crevices, right? I mean, you can't, it's not going to release itself just through the normal process. Something's just staying there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying. I want to share this story because I thought it was so interesting. I was in Portland last September, and it was when those fires were coming down from Canada, and they were actually advising people to not be outside. But we were there for a weekend trip, so we're out breathing in, and you could see the ash going through the air.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I came back, and I did a series of colonics, and my tubing was full of black silt from what I breathed in. And so that's where when people say like, oh, I'm fairly healthy, I have my bowel movement, you know, once a day or whatever. It's like we're constantly exposed to toxins. Yes, that time I could actually see it going through the air. Mm-hmm. But when we walk outside, when we touch whatever, when we inhale cleaning product, like all of this stuff goes to our organs and absorbs it, and it will eventually come out the colon.
You know,
so it's cleansing.
I want to put your information in this program that Mark and I are making now called Detox It, and it's one of the we're doing every detox organ and gland in the body, where you can, it's just a guide to show people how to go through each organ and gland and encourage safe and healthy detoxification. And I want to put your info in there because I think it'd be really useful for people in your area, and if you come out here, it'd be cool. But
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I talk about is you know, when I was in school, was the reflexing of the colon to the lungs, and that when, and in Chinese medicine, they, you know, that's how they view it. So when people have sluggish colon, they almost always have difficulty with respiration or asthma or allergies or something with the lungs, and vice versa. When people have tend to get pneumonia and bronchitis and have this chest stuff, they usually have a sluggish bowel. And when people get colon cancer, it often metastasizes into the lung and vice versa. And I think that to me is so fascinating. And what you just said about inhaling, and people who are smokers and people who are exposed to all these different types of airborne toxins.
We live in a city where we're exposed to toxins.
Right. And people think that you're going to like spit that up in, you know, in your spittle or whatever, in your mucus, and blow it out of your nose. But actually, yes, that's true. But you also, it gets pushed into the bowel. And that's probably, I mean, that's obviously what you're saying, is that you saw that ash in the bowel. And that's nuts.
Mm-hmm. And that's why too, like exactly what you are setting up for people, which is great. Again, it's knowing these eliminatory systems and knowing you need to make sure they're open and moving stuff through. Mm-hmm. Because once it becomes sludged up and you're not, that's mm-hmm. when the problems start. Yeah.
Well, I'll be our own devil's advocate for a moment and say that a lot of conventional and allopathic interests would say, well, the body has its own mechanisms of doing that. You don't need to do it for the body. But I would argue and say that we have never been exposed to this much toxicity ever. Like we,
agreed.
Yeah, we're at a level now where eating everything is toxic practically. And so we need to give our bodies a helping hand, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just my perspective on that.
And I would say, I'm going to add this. I think that for a modality that's so gentle, beneficial, it's such low cost. I mean, in terms of adding that into one's lifestyle, it doesn't cost much to do this.
Yeah.
That's why I go back to the healthcare thing. Like when you're buying the good organic foods and juicing and the colonics and the infrared sauna, like that is all your healthcare. Mm-hmm. You're paying for your healthcare up front.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Super. Like, what do you always say, Mark? Pay for it.
Pay for it now, or you're going to pay for it in chemotherapy later.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
yes.
That's bleak.
Can I even ask you what you charge for your services?
Yeah. So I do package deals. So a single session is $100, and then I do a package of three for $270, and then a package of five for $425. On the West Coast, it seems like it's about around $110, but I think people do packages. And then on the East Coast, it's around $130.
I think that's Midwest is best,
I guess.
Midwest is best. I live out there, so don't go there. So anyway, healthy poop. Let's talk about what a healthy poop looks like.
Did you say something, Mark?
Not to you.
He's mouthing things to me.
I'm also the engineer and producer, and I got to keep her on track.
Are you talking shit?
I'm talking shit.
Yeah, healthy stool.
I actually do have to go to the bathroom. It's funny you talk about this.
Go to the bathroom. You don't need to.
Having to go to the bathroom.
I've just, ever since we started, I got like a tingling in my bowels ever since we had this conversation.
Oh, you want to do a poop in my bathroom?
I'm not going to do that.
You can't.
I have that effect on people. I get it.
You're like a vampire. Look into my eyes. I make you poop. Peristalsis.
You're on a date. You're on a date with her all of a sudden.
You're like, I can't hold it anymore.
but poop. So anyway, so yes, the consistency is super important. So that's why, like, I go back to people. Should I be hurrying right now?
No. Oh.
See what you did?
Oh, so because people will say, like, I go to the bathroom every day, I'm healthy, but I'm like, okay, what's the consistency? And so I usually tell people it's about 8 inches long, medium brown in color, like that walnut brown in color. Or like the size of a small banana that slips right into the toilet and settles in. And it doesn't take a long time, and it doesn't have a really intense odor.
Okay.
It's still stool, so it will have a little bit of an odor. But again, people who can smell up a whole bathroom for hours, like that, there is something going on.
Yeah, something not right. Yes, right. Exactly.
Gosh, wait, that took me away from what I was at. Okay, about 8 inches long. Right. So a lot of people in my practice, way more people have far too mushy stool than they do constipation. It's the most common. And they'll have one big mushy bowel movement in the morning, and then that's it for the day. And that's a problem. And I was prone to a lot of that as well. And I definitely think that has to do, I've noticed it has a lot to do with the lack of prebiotics, the fiber in the stool to bulk up the stool. And probiotics too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what you did to turn it around?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I have gone back and forth with for sure, but I was going to talk in our intro later. I was going to talk a little bit about Just Thrive, which is this new spore-based probiotic that we're crazy about. And have you ever used spore-based probiotics?
I've used Megaspore.
Yeah, so it's before, the same product. I think they have one more strain in it than the Just Thrive. But I noticed that, unfortunately, I have to kind of double my dose with it for me to have a noticeable effect, because I was taking it for a few months and really didn't notice much. And it's not cheap, you know? So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try this, because I feel like that's always been my thing, has been a low-grade gut dysbiosis forever. So I doubled my dose with it, and within a couple of days, I was like, whoa, I was going twice a day. They were fully formed. I thought, you know what? But that's not news to me. It's definitely something I've seen a lot and experienced a lot, where people start taking more probiotics. They start having these, these experiences with being able to go more than once.
Are you putting together a Glock over there?
It sounds like she's putting together a gun.
I'm taking my probiotic.
It sounds like you're cleaning a gun.
I know, really. You want us to hold on?
I was like, well, we're talking pro. probiotics. I think I need to take mine.
Are you serious? see, this is what happened. We start talking about this stuff. I'm like, should I go? I'm about to go on Thrive, but I don't want to touch the computer because Kathleen's going to yell at me.
Sorry, that was probably really annoying.
No, it was funny.
Our listeners out there.
This is the effect. This is why we have these conversations, is to keep these modalities alive. And hopefully people hear this and go, oh, wow, that's right. I know colon hydrotherapy.
Yeah,
I realize the benefits. And it spreads like a...
Yeah, like a good wildfire.
Correct.
Well,
yeah.
I'm super excited. I honestly feel like we could talk for another hour, but we do need to wrap it up. And I want you to tell everybody where you... wait a second. One more question. Tell everyone why they shouldn't do fleet enemas. And
I don't ever have people do fleet enemas, so maybe you can speak to it.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, well, it's just like a medicated laxative that goes into the bowel through a little. They sell bottles at the store, and you just like squeeze it up there
with the saline solution and everything.
Yeah, Yeah. Anyway, I just really try to get people to not do those. I find them to, first of all, there's chemicals in them. Second of all, people get very reliant on them for bowel movements. And I guess that's something we didn't really touch on, which is, can you get addicted to enemas? Can you get addicted? We can talk about this. You can safely do them every 24 hours, but do you become reliant on them?
And that is where most people don't, because again, most people don't have the time to. And two, yes, you can enjoy going to see your therapist and go through it, just like if you go, you like your massage therapist or whatever, but it's not something I think people are like, it's not something on their radar all the time. Mm-hmm. I wish I could find this. They worked with this couple that did enemas every single day. Mm-hmm. And they tried to prove why it was bad. And they ended up not being able to, because it's like they were having healthy bowel movements. They were feeling really good. They had a ton of energy. So it came back that it was like they couldn't prove anything wrong with it.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. Dr. Marshall used to say that people, used to frequently go to the bathroom a few hours after they ate. They weren't passing what they just ate, but it was moving through, other meals through that they have digested, and that it wouldn't be unusual to have three bowel movements a day at really healthy, normal, odorless bowel movements. And he would say that you wouldn't even need toilet paper, although of course you naturally want to use toilet paper, but they wouldn't have this greasy consistency of leaving a mess on your bum, that they would just come right out, and that would be the thing, kind of like the way a dog does, where he just poops and there's really, if he's healthy, there's really nothing to be left hanging around. And
yes,
so that's fascinating. So it makes me think that this whole thing of encouraging like they were doing colonics all the time, that it just makes sense, to keep it clear and clean.
And this may be TMI, but we're doing a podcast on colonics. I'm learning the gravity method of colonics as well, because I want to have both the pressure and the gravity. I think they're both fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I did a colonic every day for 7 days, and I was still having one, maybe two bowel movements in the morning as well, and then doing the colonics in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
So this is, I'm telling you, and I eat a clean diet and I take care of myself, and that's how much stool people can have in their colons. And I'm sure you have talked about, Elvis Presley and John Wayne when mm-hmm. they were found, mm-hmm. the pounds of stool. I think Elvis was found with what, the 25 pounds or something. It's an insane amount.
Right.
I think even more than that, actually. So
that's crazy. The idea that we've got that rotting stuff in us, at all times.
So Natalie, tell anyone who's listening, and you're in your best sort of education and just convincing style, why you have to get a colonic, excuse me. I can't have that. And speech lessons too.
First of all, you want to get the old stool out, because back, I've probably beat this dead horse. Most people are about 4 days backed up. It's hydrating for the colon. It can help to tone and get the peristalsis moving, and it hits on all those pressure points. So you can't go wrong when you're going down the path of learning about your body. And again, digestion is like the best place to start, because that may uncover what else is going on. Like for you, when you were like having the mushy stools and you needed the prebiotics and the probiotics, and you just have to rebalance that. It's its own, our bodies are its own ecosystem. So you want to keep it in balance like anything else.
Well said.
Well said.
Thank you.
So tell us where we can reach you. First of all, I want everybody to follow Natalie on Move Colonics, M-O-V as in Victor E, Move Colonics on Instagram, because your posts are hilarious and so informative and so much fun. And I think everyone should follow you. But do you have a website or anything you'd like to people to check you out on?
Yeah. So my website is movecolonics.com. And there's a lot of different articles and things on there as well that people can check out. Instagram is Move Colonics, Facebook Move Colonics.
Nice.
I think
Well, I'm so glad we finally hooked up, girl.
Me too.
That was fun.
Too long. And well, if you guys are free in November, I'd love to go to Erewhon or something.
All right, just
right in Venice. Yeah. Please contact us when you get in town. We'd love to hang out with you.
Yeah,
definitely. Sounds good.
All right, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, ciao.
Okay, bye. That was fun.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
She's really cool.
She is.
She's easy to talk to, and
that was fun. She was you have to have a sense of humor when you're talking about poop and shit. There's a lot of
double entendres,
and it's easy to kind of go down that road.
She had a good point about getting the shame out of it. Like, we're all so embarrassed to talk about poop, and it's just something that.
I mean, I grew up in the household. It's like, don't put your hand down there. I'm like, well, it's clean. What are you talking about?
Wait a second. Where were you putting your hands? What do you mean?
Do we have to be specific?
Well, your mom is telling you not to put your hands
down.
That's like
the whole area from front to back is like considered dirty when you were younger.
So you were putting your hands, down your pants?
I didn't want to.
Well, now I'm worried because, wait a second, I think she had a good point. You can't be sticking your hands in places while you're just sitting at the dining room table.
I gotta cut this.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, there is a lot of shame with things that come out of the butt, and so people don't want to put anything in the butt because, like, whoa, what? Because we didn't grow up in that culture. Like you said, your mom kind of did enemas, and some people have it, but your mom came from a culture where that was kind of a normal thing.
Yeah.
My mom, a little bit. My dad never did, so that's where that shame came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a great way that, it really is no shame in that area at all.
Right. I mean, it's a little gross and a little stinky, but, it's...
Well, it's part of your body, and it's where it's your sewage system.
Yeah.
So it's anything like you have on you that needs to be maintained.
Right.
And cleaned.
Right. I just said it's a little stinky, like mine is like always stinky or something. I just meant poop is stinky. I didn't mean like I'm stinky.
Oh, I'd have to verify with Charlie. Is she really always stinky there? The dog just sleeps by your butt. I mean, just loves it. Reminds him of just going to the dog park.
Speaking of dogs, what's funny is that it's so interesting that they like smell each other's butts and stuff, and they're not embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like
that's not really a good analogy or illustration. Just because dogs aren't embarrassed, we shouldn't be. Probably not really the best method of
lick themselves in public.
Yeah, and.
Anyway, my point is just that we all have poop shoots, and it's just it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good. Well, okay, I'm so happy that she was here because we really were long overdue for that particular
got really deep in there, literally, and talked about a lot of aspects of colon hydrotherapy.
A lot of aspects
of it. But I just go back to the simple, when I think of it, it's just really, it's hydrating, it's cleansing, you're cleaning, and you're doing a little bit more than your body can do. You're assisting your body in doing what it already does. And when it's overtaxed, it can't do it on its own. So,
and I like that she said, look, if you're smelling up a bathroom for hours, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Like it's probably wise to invest in a series of colonics. And it seems expensive, but it's something that really should be budgeted in and just sorted out.
Any Japanese food. Stop going to Mexican restaurants.
Stop.
Seriously. go to eat more cleaner foods.
Well, the
I mean,
right,
there is that. I mean, I joke about it, but cleaner
yeah,
foods.
Yeah, well, the more complex the food is, the harder it is to digest it. So Mexican food and Indian food that have a lot of different spices and a lot of different macronutrients, like, you know, a lot of carbs, a lot of sugars, a lot of fats, and all a lot of protein, it becomes more complex and it takes longer to digest. And if you have a sluggish bowel already, that's going to be sitting in your bowel a heck of a lot longer than, you know, a miso soup and some sushi would. So that's the point. So, you know, this, first of all, this podcast is being brought to you by truthtreatments.com. We have our amazing sponsor, who is pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and he has an incredible product called Truth Treatments. And I'm addicted, and I have all my girlfriends addicted, especially they were worried about the cost. But I was like, I have never spent, like, you spend a lot for the actual products, but then they last you for a year. I haven't even bought more. I still have the same products that I had 8-9 months ago. And they're so concentrated, and there's a vitamin C serum that your skin just drinks up and does amazing things for wrinkles. I'm super addicted because I'm not big into Botox or even makeup. But, you know, I'm getting up there where I feel like I need to put makeup on because I'm starting to see the age, you know. But instead, I've just been using, like, the retinol that he has and using it on my chest, on all this sun-damaged area, and the healing omega cream that he has. I had that bike accident.
Yes.
And I just got road rash on my knee, and I got it on my elbow. And I'm so crazy about the Omega Healing Cream because it's just like completely, I don't know. Maybe I'm just healing better now that I'm older.
So less scarring, you've noticed?
Yeah, less scarring. It's really, really cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm digging it. And so you can get 10% off anytime, any order, not just your first order.
Can I get 10% off? Yeah.
You can. Truthtreatments.com. And have the truth. See, as in Charlie, M as in Martone. So that is the coupon for 10%.
That will be in the show notes, right?
It will be in the show notes. And again, make sure you go to the healthygutgirl.com shop page. Click on the shop page. I don't sell anything on the page, just so you know. But on that page are all my favorite products, everything I use almost on a daily basis, and things, everything from the type of sauna
I use, most
that
of them
use,
too.
Yeah, from the type of sauna that I use, the type of collagen that I use. I'm going to get another, that ancestral stuff that I'm using, the kidney stuff. Ugh. I'm so happy about this kidney stuff that is, you know, I take so many herbs, kidney herbs for kidney support because I tend to have deficient kidneys, especially if you have adrenal fatigue or you're high wired like I am. And it's hard to, those herbs seem to be very mild for me. And acupuncture, nothing ever really seemed to get it. And now I'm using that, kidney, it's a kidney organ, beef bovine kidney, like actually kidney organs to support kidney function. And that's a very Native American Indian cultural thing, is to use the organ of the animal that that you are deficient in. So taking heart, taking kidney, taking liver, taking, you know, adrenal from, but they have to be super high quality, really grass-fed, finished, very humanely raised. Anyway, check that all out on healthygutgirl.com. Click on the shop page. And guys, my book, Gut Health Diet for Beginners, you got to check it out. Give it to a friend. Check that out. Go to any of my social media and get your pre-order, your book now. It's going to be on Amazon or anywhere books are sold starting November 27th. Thank you guys for joining.
Go get your colonics.
Get your colonic and get that shit out.